brings a number of interesting string instruments, including three Stradivari violins. And the two instruments that we're standing in front of now, I like to call before and after Strad. Because it's very interesting when you stop and think that even in the context of a modern symphony orchestra, most players would give their eye teeth to have an instrument like the Antonius Stradivari violin that was made in 1711. If we look at horns or woodwind instruments that were made in the 1700s, and you think, would these instruments have any life in a modern orchestra? Absolutely not. No amount of modifications would make them usable in that context. Yet the violin, from its inception, from the time that Andrea Amati standardized its design, it's more or less achieved its final form. It plays chromatically, it has a large range, so all these things that wind instruments fought with over the course of many centuries to develop, the violin arrived with those capabilities. Nevertheless, there are subtle differences between what violins probably looked like when they left Stradivari's workbench and how we experience them today. So before Strad is another Stradivari violin, this one dating from 1693 and referred to as the Gould. And it's set up in Baroque setup. So it looks as we think the instruments would have done when it left Stradivari's workshop. And you can do a compare and contrast between the two instruments and notice differences like the fact that gut strings, of course, would be used during that period. Some of the more permanent physical distinctions you see. You can see that the fingerboard is much shorter. And it's interesting when you wander around the museum through European paintings and you look at our Caravaggios and some of our still lifes from this period, you see violins and violin family instruments with these really short fingerboards. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people ask me, oh, is it artistic license? Was the painter just not very observant? But in this case, it's actually reflecting practice of the time. So you see the shorter fingerboard. If you come over here, you can look at the instruments and see how originally the neck was almost parallel to the body of the instrument.
Right.
Now, as people wanted to play louder, as concert halls got bigger and music making moved out of private spaces into big public spaces, players had their violins modified to enable them to play louder and to play more notes. So to help the instrument play louder, the necks were removed and reset. And you pitch the neck backwards, and then you create a structure that's capable of carrying more string tension. And more tautly strung strings are one of the elements that make the instrument play louder. So it's very interesting to be able to show the instruments in these two setups, which leads to another question. Whenever I talk about the Strads, people always ask, do you play the instruments in your collection? Mm-hmm. And a generous handful of them we do keep in playing condition. And when you make the commitment to keep an instrument in playing condition, you enter into a regime of maintenance and of care that's different from that of an instrument that's on static display. And it's something that you have to commit to and to keep up. But because our Stradivari violins have come from a long tradition of being played throughout their lives, because they have been modified over the course of their life, these are instruments that we do feel comfortable playing. And the American String Quartet comes in and works with us a couple times a year and plays these instruments. Nice. There are other instruments where they might survive in pristine condition, they haven't been altered. And there, in that case, we think we learn more from studying them than we do from playing them. But it's always a calculus. What do we gain by playing versus what do we risk to lose in terms of damage to the instrument or loss of information like wear patterns? So it's a complicated calculus, but it is exciting to have a good handful of instruments. Yeah. And we love to work with musicians, and we work a lot with instrument makers as well. Our Roman arch lute by Techler is actually the proud parent of a couple copies. There aren't many arch lutes of this type that survive, so it is something that's of interest to instrument makers. And every few years we'll get somebody who wants to come, measure the Techler, produce technical drawings, and if we're lucky, they make a couple copies. And it's always fun when we have a chance to hear the copies sitting next to the original. So there are all sorts of ways that we work with the collection.